All right, well, tonight we're continuing in the series that we started 4 or 5 weeks ago called Growing in God's Love, Growing in the Love of God. And last week we talked about becoming friends again. We talked about basically reconciliation. Reconciliation is restoring broken relationships. There may be somebody who insulted you, somebody who hurt you, somebody who offended you. Don't remain out of relationship with that person. Reconcile with him or with her. Become friends again with that brother or sister in Christ. Now, why should you become friends again? Why should you reconcile with the person who hurt you? Number one, because if you claim that you love God, and you're growing in your love walk with God, and the love of God is filling you more and more, then the love of God should overflow out of your life into relationship with others, including those who have offended you. Number two, God's word commands us to reconcile broken relationships in Ephesians 4:3. You can read it. We can read it tonight if you want. Ephesians 4, verse 3, and it says this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. Unity is living in harmony with others. Living in restored relationship with others. Being friends with others in the body of Christ. So it's kind of a command here in the Word of God. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Another reason why you should reconcile with those who have hurt you. Because you know what, guys, friends? The very person who hurt you may be the very person that God wants to use to help you fulfill your special part in the body of Christ. Now, you're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth on purpose. God has got a very special purpose for you in His body. And the very person that you're offended at may be the person that God wants to use to help you fulfill your special part in the body. So don't remain out of harmony. Reconcile with that person or persons. Become friends again. Another reason to reconcile a broken relationship. It's because a lot of times, blessing comes through unity. What did Jesus say? He said, blessed are the strife makers?
Peacemakers.
In Matthew 5:9? No. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are friends with others in the body of Christ. You'll be blessed in your finances, blessed in your bodies. How many want to be blessed in their emotions? Amen. You want to be blessed in your bodies, blessed in your finances. Amen. You want to be blessed in every area of your life. Then live in harmony. Don't hold a grudge against your offender. Reconcile with them. And another reason is this. How many want to see God one day? How many want to see God one day? Let's look at Hebrews 12. This is just a recap of last week's message. Hebrews 12, verse 14. And this is what it says. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. To live in peace, in harmony, in friendship with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's almost like the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12, 14 is equating holy living with living in peace with others. And it says, without this type of holiness, living in unity with the brothers and sisters, without this, without being friends with others in the body of Christ, if you are unforgiving, then no one will see the Lord. So if you want to see God one day, you must live in peace with all men. Now tonight, I want to talk about how does God speak? And you know, as you grow in your relationship with God, as you grow in your love walk with God, you reconcile broken relationships. But as you grow in your walk with God, it naturally follows that you learn to hear the voice of God. That you learn to distinguish the voice of God amidst many other voices that are wanting to speak to you. I don't know any person that's learned another person's voice without spending time with that person. How many here have a really good friend? Maybe a relative, maybe just a friend that you met years ago, and you know that person's voice, right? Correct? You can distinguish their voice. It may be a year since they've spoken to you, but since you spent 5, 10 years building a relationship with them, when they call you, you recognize their voice, right? Because you know them. You've had relationship with them over the years, right? It's the same way with God. You get to learn the voice of God. You get to understand how God speaks by spending time with God in prayer. You know, today, for instance, there's this one individual that I've had a business relationship with. For many years, I've done a lot of work for him on his house, and he's been very good to me. He's helped me out. I've helped him out. But today, he called me up on the phone. It was early afternoon. He said, "Hey, is this Jonathan Palacio?" I said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "Who's this?" And he said, "This is so-and-so." I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" I didn't recognize his voice immediately. Why is that? I mean, I've worked for him on his house, done some landscaping work for him. But I didn't recognize his voice immediately. I was like, "Who's this?" Why didn't I? Because I haven't spent quality hours building a friendship with him. Like, he's a really nice guy. We've built a business relationship. But to learn somebody's voice, you've got to spend quality time with them. You agree tonight? And it's the same way in our spiritual walk with God. To learn his voice, you've got to learn to spend quality time with him. You know, there's a lot of voices out there in the world competing for our attention. Do you agree? What kinds of voices are out there? What kinds of voices are out there?
Worldly voices.
Worldly voices. There's the voice of the media, magazines, newspapers, the internet, TV, billboards, right? Then there's the voices of family and friends saying that, "I think you should take this course of action. I think this is the thing you should do. I think this is the decision you should make." Family and friends trying to speak into your life. Maybe a good thing, but not necessarily a God thing. Amen. Right? Amen. Agree with that? Amen. And then there's the voices of unclean spirits that you've just got to rebuke in the name of Jesus. So there's voices out there competing for your attention. But whose voice alone should have your attention and my attention? The voice of God and God alone. Amen? You know, friends, we're all facing decisions in life. You agree? How many here are facing some decisions tonight? We're facing small decisions and large decisions. And in our own minds, we might be wondering, well, which course of action is the best to take? Should I leave this place and get an apartment? Should I get this education or more education? Should I switch from this career, this job, to this other job? Should I marry this person? We're all facing decisions about which course of action is the best to take. You know, God wants to tell you which course is the best. God can see far into the future in our lives. He can see far into eternity. Our limited minds, our minds are finite, they're limited. We can only see so far. But God can see to the end of our lives. He could see the end result of the decisions we make. And how many want their end result to be blessed? Then take God's course of action. Take God's advice. This requires understanding how God speaks. In order to take the advice of God, you've got to know how He speaks, right? Right? So you've got to position yourself to hear the voice of God. You've got to position yourself to hear His voice. How do you position yourself to hear the voice of the Almighty God? Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. Positioning yourself to hear the voice of God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's got a wonderful plan for your life. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart.
Amen.
Positioning yourself to hear the voice of God. Number one, verse 13, Jeremiah 29. You've got to seek the face of God.
Amen.
How do you seek the face of God, the voice of God? You seek it in prayer, in spending time with God alone in prayer. And spending time with God in a quiet place, if you could. Not where there's noise and distraction and many voices trying to speak to you. But spending time alone with God in prayer in a peaceful place. Positioning yourself to hear His voice. So how many have some questions for God tonight? How many have some questions? God, what should I do in this situation? Anybody out there tonight have any questions for God? I see lots of hands out there. That's good. Guess what? God wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you what to do. But first of all, you must do what, like we said? Seek Him in prayer, right? And after you earnestly and humbly seek God in prayer, God will speak to you. So the question is, how does God speak to us today as believers in this year of 2007? How does God speak to us today? Number one, He speaks to us with a still, small voice of peace, like He spoke to the prophet Elijah. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. This is a great story in 1 Kings 19. The prophet Elijah in chapter 18 basically proved that God, that Yahweh, the Almighty, was the only true God. And the false prophets of Baal, he had them slaughtered. Now, the queen of Israel at the time was Jezebel. She found out that the prophets of Baal were slaughtered by Elijah, and she basically started going after Elijah. She threatened Elijah. And Elijah became afraid. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. It says that Elijah, in verse 8, got up, ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. He was hiding away in a cave. How many here tonight might feel like you're in a cave in your life? Kind of hiding away, maybe depressed, not knowing which route to take, which decision to make. Look at this. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 10. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then this voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he goes on in verse 14. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And then God speaks to him and says, go back to the way you came, to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, anoint Jehu king over Israel, and anoint Elijah to succeed you, Elisha, to succeed you as prophet. So there was a wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire. But God's voice was not in any of those. God spoke how?
Whisper.
With a gentle whisper of peace. And that is today how God still wants to speak to us with a still, small voice of peace. What does the Word of God say in Colossians 3, verse 15? You want to turn there? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says this. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. If you're facing a decision in your life today and you're seeking the face of God in prayer, God wants to speak to you. And if God is saying yes about a course of action, guess what? There will be on the inside, in your heart, right here, like a peace, a warm feeling. But if God is saying, no, that's not what I want you to do, there will be no peace on the inside. I'd like to give you a personal story. Back in 92, I was just trying to figure out which university, which college God wanted me to go to. I applied to numerous colleges, four different colleges. And I just had no peace on the inside about him. I came home one day in January of 92, and my dad said he was praying, and God spoke to him and said, Jonathan is to go to Oral Roberts University. So I came home that afternoon in January of 92. My dad sat me down and said, I just prayed. I was reading this book by Oral Roberts, and I just sensed God saying that you're to go to Oral Roberts University. When he told me that, it was like a burden lifted off my spirit. There was just a peace on the inside. God was saying, this is the way, walk in it. Walk in this way. And you know, there's the SATs that you need to take before you can get into a college. And I was about 20 points short in getting an academic scholarship at ORU. So I called them up and said, well, I'm only 20 points away. Could you give me the scholarship anyway? They said, well, you know, retake the test in April of 92. And if you get those 20 points, we'll give you the scholarship. So guess what I did? I retook the SAT. And I kid you not, guess how many points I got? No more, no less. I got exactly 20 points more. And they gave me the scholarship. I went to ORU. It was great. I got my degrees over there. It was tough. But it was God's will for my life. Because I listened to the still, small voice of peace in my life at that time. That was a major decision. God, which university should I go to? Oral Roberts University, and there was a peace on the inside. If he could do it for me, he can do it for you. He'll speak to you in the same way. Let me tell you another story here. Back in 2004, there was a couple of friends of mine at the church who were holding this Monday night service here at the Salvation Army. And I happened to be talking to his wife briefly one day, and she said, you know what, we're moving to the Tampa Bay area of Florida. So it was like in June of 2004, and I asked her, I said, do you have anybody to take your service on Monday nights at the Salvation Army? She said, no, I don't. I said, I'll take it. It was pretty quick. But I had a peace on the inside. And through a process of time, back in August of 2004, a couple of months went by, and I took the service. And guys, let me tell you, I'm really glad to be ministering here to you tonight. I'm really glad I took this service. I was doing it twice a month. We're now holding the service on Monday nights four times a month. I had no check, no uneasiness in my spirit. There was a peace on the inside. God was saying, yes, this is my way for you. Walk in it. Minister to the people at the Salvation Army on Monday nights. And I'd say it's one of the best decisions I've made in the last 3 years. I enjoy ministering to you precious people on a weekly basis. Alrighty. Another decision I made last year was to go to a place called Hong Kong. How many here have heard of Hong Kong? To minister with a certain organization. Figured I could bring the gospel out there through helping teach English and leading a team of young people there. Well, it was a good thing to go to Hong Kong, but it was not necessarily a God thing. It was like, wow, this is great. You know, Hong Kong needs to hear the gospel. I may have the opportunity somehow to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these young Hong Kong students. And let me tell you, friends, I went out there in July of 06. We trained in early July of 06, went out there to Hong Kong. It was the most difficult missions experience I ever had. I missed it that time. I missed it that time. And you know what? Learning the voice of God is a trial and error process. We're not going to always hit it on target. We may miss it sometimes. But it's when you miss it that you learn more clearly what His voice is. The next time, You agree with that tonight? It was a tough experience. I got to share with the children, with the kids at the school, that Jesus really loves them. But it was a difficult experience. I mean, let me tell you, friends, I mean, the team I was leading of young people out there to Hong Kong, American teenagers, they were a difficult team to deal with. They gave me problems. They didn't want to obey and submit. I had problems with the organization. It was a good thing. It sounded good. But it was not a God thing. So tonight, you may be faced with a good idea in your life. But make sure it's a God idea and not just a good idea. How do you distinguish a good idea from a God idea? How do you do the God idea instead of the good idea? By seeking the face of God and hearing His voice. This is what I want you to do. This is the person I want you to marry. This is the school I want you to go to. This is the apartment community I want you to move to. This is the state I want you to live in. Amen. The way you learn that is by listening to the voice of God for your life. Amen. Another way in which God speaks to us is by His written word. Let's look at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The word of God is like a light in a dark place. Now, imagine that it was like about 9:30 at night here and all the lights were shut off in this building, right? In this room. It was pitch dark. If you walked in here without any light, what would happen? You'd be tripping over the seats. You'd be bumping into walls, right? Because there's no light. You can't see your way clearly. As soon as you switch on the light, the path is clear, right? The aisle is clear, right? It's the same way with the Word of God. The Word of God is like our light, is like those lights right up there. And you may be in a dark place in your life tonight. God wants to shine the light of His Word in the dark area of your life. But what do you have to do? You've got to store the Word of God up on the inside, right? You've got to read the Word of God and you've got to meditate on the Word of God. I would encourage all of you to read Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the whole Psalm, it's a long Psalm, is about the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119, verse 11, for instance, "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you, God." You've got to hide the Word of God in your heart. How do you hide the Word of God in your heart? How do you hide God's Word in your heart? By reading it. By thinking about what you read. By meditating on it. That's the way you hide God's Word in your heart. And it's a good thing to get the Word of God in you early in the morning before you start your daily activities. How many have an extra 15 minutes in the morning? An extra 10 minutes that you can give to the Word of God. Maybe you get up 10 or 15 minutes earlier. You maybe can only read a chapter, maybe just a few verses. Well, start doing it. You may not be able to read 4, 5, or 6 chapters out of the Word of God, but start somewhere. Maybe it's only 3 or 4 verses or scriptures. You know, I, with another team here in the in a local church, reach out on Friday nights to the street dwellers of Tulsa. We reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give out food, we give out drink, you know, like soda pop, and then we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Because God has spoken to us in His written word. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Tulsa is my Jerusalem. It's your Jerusalem right now. And that's why we reach out on Friday nights. Because the Word of God in Acts 1:8 tells us to be witnesses in our Jerusalem. So if you're like wondering whether you should reach out to somebody who's needier than you, do it.
Amen.
Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world. It's not the great suggestion, it's the great commission. He's already spoken it in His written word. He wants to speak to you through the written scripture. Right here. But you've got to store it up on the inside. On the inside. You know, a couple of months ago, I had a situation where I live in South Tulsa, and a certain individual kind of, we butted heads a little bit. And I had been studying on the subject of forgiveness from the scriptures. Reading about it, studying, even preaching it. And this certain individual, we butted heads pretty badly where I live at. And he spoke some really unkind words into my life. And I was really upset about it. I tried to keep my cool when he was talking to me, but he really attacked me and my character. And I was like, God, what do I do with this individual? He basically said so many words to me, attacked my character, talked down on me, made me feel about this small. Really attacked me. How many here have been attacked like that at one point? It's like, God, what do I do? And God spoke to me. He said, remember what you've been studying in my written word, the Bible. You've been studying on the issue or the subject of forgiveness. Just let that man go. Don't retaliate. Don't try to get back at him. Just forgive him. Release him of the debt that you think he owes you. Release him of the apology that you think he owes you. God spoke to me right from His written word. I had been studying on the subject of forgiveness. And God said, you've been studying it. It's in my word. My word is all about forgiveness. The forgiveness is throughout my word. Forgive that man. And it's the same way with you here tonight. You've got to study the Word of God, and when you face that decision in your life, like, God, how do I handle this person? How do I handle this situation? Which decision do I make? He'll tell you. Remember what you read in my written Word, just like He did for me. Does that make sense? You agree tonight? God speaks to us through His written Word. God will speak to you through spiritual leaders. How many here have a spiritual leader that you respect? Spiritual leader that you respect, maybe a pastor, maybe an intercessor, maybe a pastor from back home, whoever that person might be, an evangelist. You respect that person. God can speak to you through that spiritual leader, the person you respect. That person may not speak to you one-on-one, but he can speak through that person from the pulpit to you. You know, sometime back, this was probably 10 years ago, a friend of mine from the college I attended called me up and he was like, Jonathan, I have this investment opportunity for you. You invest this amount of money and you can like more than double and triple your money in this amount of time. And he was just getting me excited about it. He sent me all these disclaimers and all these disclaimers by email, basically protecting himself that if anything went wrong, he would not be responsible, right? So he said, man, I have this guy investing this amount of money and this person investing this amount of money and their money's just going to double and triple. And Jonathan, if you invest this amount of money, I can guarantee you that you will make a lot of money back. And I was like, man, God, I don't know what to do about this situation. God, what should I do? And God spoke to me. And guess how He spoke to me? Through my pastor, from the pulpit. It was like on a Sunday evening, about 10 years ago, in the middle of a sermon. My pastor gets up in the middle of the sermon and he talks about making financial investments and being careful about investing in certain opportunities. Basically said that certain opportunities are scams. Check it out before you invest. And I was like, God, thank you. This is the answer I needed. It was like God was saying to me, you know what? You've asked my wisdom on the situation. And I'm telling you through your pastor not to invest in it. It was really weird. It was like, you know, in the middle of a sermon, he talks about financial investments and being careful and not investing in everything you hear about. And I decided not to invest. And I'm really glad I didn't, because I believe I would have lost that money. You may be facing a decision like that tonight. God wants to speak to you through a spiritual leader that you may respect. Another way that God speaks to us is through dreams and visions. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verses 14 through 17. Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God said, last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know, God speaks today still through visions of the day and dreams of the night. He can speak to you through a dream. And he speaks to me often through dreams. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, how God spoke to Joseph through a dream. Joseph through a dream. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 2 as we close here tonight. Matthew chapter 2. Herod was out to kill Jesus. How many know that? At the time that Jesus was just a young boy. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, and take this child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Amen. Speaks to Joseph in another dream. Look at verse 19 of Matthew 2. Just a few verses down. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. God spoke to Joseph by an angel in a what?
Dream.
In a dream. If he did it for Joseph, he can do it for us through a dream. Now, God doesn't always speak through dreams. Not all dreams are from God. Scary dreams, nightmares, are not from God. Who are they from? Nightmares are from the devil. If a dream is instilling fear in you, strong fear, if it's making you worried, if it's terrifying you, it's not from God, it's from the enemy. It's a nightmare. But God sometimes can speak to you in a dream about a course of action that you're to take. He wants to speak to you. He really does. You know, hearing God's voice on a decision is winning the battle on which course to take. Let me say that again. Hearing the voice of God on a decision is winning the battle in which course to take. But acting on what the voice of God says is winning the war on a course of action. If you can hear the voice of God, you've won the battle on the course of action to take. It's when you obey the voice of God that you've won the what? The war on which course of action to take. So we need to hear the voice of God, but not just hear it. We need to act upon the voice of God. You know, if God speaks to you and tells you to do a certain thing, maybe through that still small voice, maybe through his written word, maybe through a respected spiritual leader, maybe in a dream, and God speaks to you and you know that God has spoken to you, you've received confirmation, but you don't obey, you disobey. And you do your own thing. And then you suffer the consequences. And he speaks to you again, and you disobey again. Can you really count on God speaking to you again and again if you keep disobeying? If you want to hear God the next time, obey what he says the previous time. Amen? All right. So hearing the voice of God and obeying His voice. One final scripture, Isaiah 1, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 1 says this, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So if you are willing to hear the voice of God and obedient to that voice, you will eat the best of the land. You will be blessed. But if you resist and rebel what God is telling you to do, it says you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So as you grow in your love walk with God, deeper in your relationship with God, it follows naturally that God wants to talk to you. Tune out those competing voices of media, of family, of friends, of those unclean spirits, and tune in to the voice of God. The still small voice of peace. The voice that speaks through the scripture. The voice that speaks through a respected spiritual leader. And the voice that speaks through dreams and visions. But not just hearing His voice in those ways, but acting upon what the voice of God says to do. Amen? Amen? How many here tonight want to more clearly hear the voice of God? How many, guys? I think it should be all of us, right? How many here are followers of Jesus Christ? Followers of God. How many in this room tonight are followers of Jesus Christ? You're building that relationship with Him, right? So if you're building that relationship with Him, it means that you're wanting to learn His voice. You're needing to learn His voice. Because as you spend time with someone, you learn their voice. As you spend time with God, with Jesus, you learn His voice. Amen.